says. I'm going to ask Brother Parsons to come. We have a visiting preacher, Brother Taylor. I want Brother Parsons to kind of introduce him to us tonight, and we're so glad to have him. I was glad to see him this morning. He's been with us before, and I thought, Lord, there's an answer prayer right there. I'd get some help tonight, and I need it. Brother Parsons, come on, and if you want to say something about the Restore-a-thon, that's up to you, but go ahead and introduce Brother Taylor for us tonight, if you would.
Dr. Taylor, why don't you come on down, and I want to say thank you to all the people. I know Pastor kind of mentioned my name about Restore-a-thon, but just I'm thankful for all the people that were behind the scenes, everybody working all over, all kinds of hours, making sure that it happened, and it wasn't just me. I just got to be a piece of it and got to stand up, and this is it was a great victory for me, and I don't want to take preaching time tonight to tell you, but I think a lot of people prayed for a goal, and some of you gave towards a goal. God spoke to your heart, and what a great victory it was. Amen. Last night, this morning. And so I thank the Lord for what he did and how he used all his people to come together and in unity to reach another goal so we could send the light again. And so Dr. Taylor's here with us. And even though he's from way up north, I just told Preacher, and I think that might have been why I asked you to preach, he found out you were from Georgia. Amen. And amen. And so amen. You come and preach to us, brother. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know that y'all folks down here in Florida are a little smarter, amen, so just give me a break, amen. Turn with me your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Again, thank you so much. We felt so welcome here, and thank you, Pastor Carter, for letting me come. He said, Brother Joe, I know it was on short notice. Well, you're supposed to be ready and in season, out of season, so I guess I just better be ready, amen. So if you look with me in your Bible, just a few passages I want to look at. Judges chapter 2, and it'll be a familiar passage to you, I hope. But I want to build a premise for us tonight. Who are you going to be? What's going to motivate you? Where do you want to be? Amen. I know what I've been talking to Pastor Parsons, and he's been saying, hey, we want to do this, we want to do that. I'm just excited for all things God has for Landmark Baptist Church and for all the wonderful ministries you're a part of, and just excited to just come and visit. But if you look with me, Judges chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 7 and then following. Judges chapter 2 and verse 7. And it says, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Now jump down to verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which the Lord had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord their God, forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed after the gods of the people, that were around about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. Let's go to the Lord and pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray that tonight that you would help me to get out of the way, that you might share your message with your people. Father, give us a receptive ear to hear your word, but not just hear it. Lord, help us to be a doer of your word and not just a hearer only. Father, we just thank you for loving us. We thank you for these few moments we have together. Father, I pray you just encourage the saints. Draw each one of us closer to you. And if there's someone here that's far away from you, that they might come to know you as their Lord and Savior tonight. Father, we love you and thank you. In Christ's name we ask you. Amen. Now, as we look at this passage, there's a great deal of history here as we begin to they've entered the promised land. They've divided up the land. And what we have is Joshua as leader and all the elders that are with him. And as we look at verse 7, it says, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Now, when I think of this verse, it immediately comes to my mind really two things. Number one, the children of Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And two, the children of Israel served the Lord all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the mighty works in the wilderness. Now, you know Joshua was the faithful servant. I mean, you remember before, he was God's man before they even left Egypt. I mean, he was following Moses, was right there with him, went halfway up the mount. And he served the Lord, and we had one other guy that was with him. And then remember, they spied out the land. Y'all remember them spying out the land?
Right.
They spied out the land. And we had some reports that came in. We had a whole lot of them that said, you know what? It's too much for us. We can't do it. This is too big for us. And the majority opinion was we can't do it.
Right.
Amen. You know, today, that's still true today. Do y'all believe that's true today? The majority opinion is, oh, no, we can't do it.
Right.
But you know what? I've been around here just a few days, and there are a whole lot of people here that are the can-do kind of people. Amen.
Right.
They believe that things, God can do things,
yeah.
And a lot of it because of the faithful men that are serving here in this church. Amen. And that we can do it, that there's a possibility, there's hope. And I think that's important for each one of us. That was the legacy of Joshua. I hope it's the legacy for us in the generation in which we live. But if we come to verse 7 again, we understand that all the days of Joshua and the elders, they served the Lord. I like that. I'm going to label that generation. And for some of you that like the Old West, I like to label that generation the generation that went into the promised land. Not the generation that died in the wilderness, folks. I'm talking about the generation that went into the promised land.
Right.
Amen? I want to label that generation for tonight's purposes the pioneer generation. Amen?
Right.
The pioneer generation. Now, I want you to know a pioneer generation are people that realize it's going to take something. It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take work.
Yeah.
Amen? They know it's going to be tough. They know there's a wilderness out there, and it's got to be, you got to tame it. You got to be that Daniel Boone or that Davy Crockett, right?
Yes.
And get out there and carve the way, amen? We've got some folks in this church that are going to be in the mission field coming up. I've been talking to a couple of them, and I know in their heart that they say, you know what, God, I want you to pave a way. I want to strike out in a new area. I want to preach the gospel where it hadn't been preached, amen?
Right.
Is that right? And we want to be a part of that, I hope. Amen. I want to see, I know you do, I do. I want to see God do a mighty work.
Amen.
And so we got to be, hey, I like it. I don't have to ask y'all to say amen. Y'all are already ready.
Amen.
I tell you, up in Michigan, you got to beg them to say amen. I'm like, do y'all know how to say amen?
Amen.
They look at me and they say, I said, you went up and down with your head. Praise God.
Amen.
That's a miracle in Michigan. Amen. They just don't talk back. I like y'all. Y'all talk back just fine.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. You got them trained right. I like it. Now, if we come to verse 10, though, I love that pioneer generation, and I want to be a part of that. I want to just, woo, amen?
Yeah.
But then I come to that next generation, and this is what makes me fearful, amen? Verse 10 says, and also all that generation, they were gathered unto their fathers. The pioneer generation had died off, amen? And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel.
Right.
Folks, I want you to understand there's a major contrast between that pioneer generation that believes God and knows that good things are happening. And praise God, maybe even right now, the church is in a pioneer situation. Amen?
Yes.
Amen? I believe with all my heart that our pastor here, he is a pioneer. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. See, he believed God and great things have happened here. Amen? Generations of it. I mean, he was talking about all the different things that God's been doing. I'm sitting there going, counting them off, going, praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Y'all don't have anything to be sad about. Amen. Yeah, nobody here should be sucking on a lemon before you go to worship service. Good things are happening here. Amen. But there might be a generation that comes. Amen. That forgets about all those good things God's been doing. And I'm afraid of that generation. Amen. Are you afraid of that generation?
Yes.
I'm afraid they might come. They came in Israel. They saw all the miracles. They saw all the things that God did. And they had the elders there to teach them and to instruct them. But they didn't believe.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Do y'all believe it's that easy for there to be one godly generation that comes in and does serves the Lord, and then just right after them another generation comes in?
Yeah.
Is that possible, folks?
Yeah.
I think the Bible tells us it is.
Yes.
And so I want to look again. We talk about a pioneer, and let's look back just one real quick to Joshua 24, just to kind of, because I want to nail down what it looks like to be a pioneer. Look with me, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Joshua 24, verse 15. Don't lose your place because we're coming back, amen? Verse 15 says, and again, Joshua says a bunch here, but he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Some of y'all got this in your house, amen, I hope. I hope. Whether the gods which you your fathers served and were on the other side of the flood, meaning before in time in Egypt, or the gods of the Amorites in which whom's land you dwell, the local folks, amen, they're supposed to drive them out, but we're going to have a problem there. Then it says, but as for me and my house, what were we going to do, folks? Serve the Lord, amen? Joshua says, hey, guys, we just got in here, and guess what? We've been serving the Lord, and things have been going good. Guess what we're going to do? We're not going to stop now. We're not going to change up to suit the world. We're not going to fit into everything going on, amen? We're going to stay holy. We're going to stay righteous. We're going to stay on that old path we've been on, amen? I might spit because I am from Georgia. But the reality, y'all watch out here, amen? Anyway, I'm being serious, amen? It's mind-blowing to me that we can let a generation just slip away.
Right.
Folks, if you don't know about good independent Baptist churches, there used to be a lot more of them, amen? And you've seen them disappear? You know, there used to be a Bible college called Tennessee Temple. Did y'all know that?
Yes.
It's gone.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Folks, I'm telling you, if we just slip a little bit, amen?
Yes.
We can be gone. Amen. And it don't take a generation to get there, does it?
Right.
Folks, we got to hold the line. We got to stand up for what's right. We can't back up. We can't cow down. Let me tell you something. The world wants to run roughshod over us. And we got to stand up and say, uh-uh, not here.
Amen.
We're standing for the Lord. He's right. And guess what? You're wrong.
Amen?
Amen? You got a King James Bible right here, amen? You don't have anything to back down to. Don't let those liberal nonsense talk to you. They ain't got nothing to say, amen? I tell you, I guess, annoying, amen? It drives me crazy, honestly. I talk to people, and I start talking to them about the Lord, and all of a sudden they say, well, y'all only use the King James. I said, well, praise God, that's the word of God. That's all we need. I didn't need nothing else, amen? I didn't need someone to tell me how to get saved. The Bible had it right there for me. I'd have to have somebody else to do it. I didn't need to in the whatever they want to. I don't know. Honestly, folks, when they tell you it's in the modern tongue, they just tell you, well, you should have said it's in the devil's tongue.
Yeah.
Amen. I'll just let y'all chew on that for a little bit. All right. Y'all seminary students, you talk to your teachers about that. All right. But notice that pioneer generation, there's such a difference between them and the next generation. That next generation, I understand this. Don't miss this. To have things settled in your life, we want it to be settled, amen? We don't want to be halfway knowing we're going to heaven. We want to have it settled, amen? But I want to label the generation that came after is not the pioneers. I want to label the generation that followed, I want to label them the settlers.
Yeah.
Amen? See, the pioneers risk it. They're risky when they're trying to settle the land. They take all the risk. They take all the sacrifice, but guess who comes after them, amen?
Yes.
Come trotting in, that's got the roads all fixed up nice. They come in and settle, amen?
Yeah.
See, the settler doesn't remember all the sacrifices that came along the way. Don't remember all the difficulties. Don't remember all the challenges that came along. They're getting to enjoy all the benefit, amen?
Amen.
They're right?
Yes, sir.
Now, I want you to know something, folks. There's nothing wrong with the settler as long as he understands something, amen? He can become a pioneer pretty quickly. But the pioneer understands what it is to struggle, to battle, to serve the Lord and the difficulty. The settler, he's just enjoyed all the benefits of the pioneers, haven't they? Amen? And they don't often appreciate what they got, amen? How many of y'all parents gave your kids a bunch of junk? Don't lie, some of y'all done it. And you gave it to them, and you know what they did? I remember when my parents gave me a car, amen? They gave it to me, I didn't earn it. You know what I did to that car? I wasn't a very intelligent young man.
Amen.
Eventually, that car was totaled. Amen? You know what? I said, you know what I thought to my parents? I looked at them and said, well, you're going to give me another one, aren't you? And they looked at me and said, nope. You didn't appreciate what you had until it was gone. Amen? Let me tell you something. That notion that it's all, I mean, it's prevalent today, isn't it? Does everybody around you that you meet thinks everybody owes them something?
Right.
It's amazing to me. That's a cultural problem we're enduring in this generation, is that everybody thinks that somebody owes them something.
Right.
That generation before didn't think that. Did y'all know that?
Right.
Amen. People that settled this country didn't think somebody owed them something. Amen.
Right.
They're getting rid of tyranny. Amen.
Yes.
We wanted freedom to worship. I, that's what they were. They were willing to sacrifice because they wanted to worship freely. Amen. That's our ancestors. Now, notice the settlers, what's the difference between them? Let me give you a couple things. First of all, the pioneer is one that loves the Lord and is faithful and willing to do whatever the Word of God requires of him or her. Amen? Amen. Got some of those folks here tonight? Amen. Whatever God said, amen. I heard the pastor say this morning, God said it. That settles it. Time to do it. Amen? Amen. That right? Pastor, I think I'm quoting you right. Amen. Tell me if I'm doing it wrong. You let me know. All right, close enough. Amen. But there's also folks, a generation that comes after. Amen. They don't think the same way.
Right.
That first generation, that pioneer generation, it daily seeks the Lord's guidance. Let's look over real quick at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Real quick. I got to look at a couple passages because I don't want y'all to just believe me because that's no good. I want you to believe what God's word says. Amen.
Amen.
Look with me in Galatians chapter 5 real quick. Galatians chapter 5. That pioneer generation, they know Galatians chapter 5. Y'all ever get one of those times where your Bible's all stuck together in the page, you can't get there? You can get everywhere but where you want to get to. Amen. All right. Verse 5 says, let's look at verse 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh." Amen? See, the pioneers realized that, you know what, I got to walk in the Spirit. I got to have the Spirit of God to lead me. I got to be in the Word of God. I've got to be praying daily. I got to be praising the Lord. Amen? I just don't do it on Sunday. I do it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And when I come back to fellowship with God's people, it's a real big celebration. Amen? That's what the pioneers know. They know they need time with God. You know what the old folks used to say all the time when I was growing up? They said, I need church. I don't have to have the preacher to beg me to come. I don't need the deacon to come run to my house. I come to church because I know I need God in my life, and I need a fellowship with God's people. Amen?
Amen.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, which is the manner of some. Amen? But, folks, if we did it the way they did it back in the first century, we'd be doing it every day. Amen? Some Baptists look at me when I say that. They look like, what's wrong with you? I got church on Sunday. I'm good. No, friends. It should be church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Are you fellowshipping with God and God's people? Amen.
But
you got every opportunity in the world. This is a big ministry, folks.
Yes.
Y'all don't just meet each other on Sunday. Y'all should be family all week long. Amen.
Yeah.
I've heard people describe and say, that's a church friend. I'm like, well, what in the world does that mean?
Yeah.
Either that's a friend or it's not a friend. Amen. Either I'm all in or I'm all out. Amen. I don't understand this part-time, half-time Christianity. It doesn't make any sense to me, but it's around. Notice, I'll give you one more thing about being a pioneer. Pioneers daily walk with God. Amen. They daily walk with God. Look in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 3, and let's look at verses 5 through 7 real quick. I know I got to move quick, but I'm kind of slow, so y'all just have to help me. Verse 5, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, another familiar passage of Scripture. It says, you know why the pages on the Bible are loud? So they know to tell the preacher to wait. Amen. Notice what it says. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. Past world. But be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Amen. I won't read that last part. We don't like that last verse, right? Amen. Don't be wise in your own mind, amen, or your own heart. Is that a tendency we have? I know y'all can't hear me if I don't get near here. Is it a tendency we have to not trust the Lord, but to trust our own way of thinking? Our own philosophy? I've heard people say that a long-time Christian say, I know what the Bible says, but I think.
Yeah.
Who cares what you think? What does that mean? Did you become smarter than God all of a sudden? Amen. I like that. Some of y'all know how to say amen.
Amen.
Folks, I tell you, it's scary times in our culture and generations that are coming up when they think they know better than God.
Yes.
And they're giving them all those extra versions of the Bible so they can really be foolish.
Yes.
Amen. They think they can figure out, they can get whatever sin they want to hold on to, they can find a Bible that suits them.
Yes, that's it.
Amen. I don't know. That's a bunch of nonsense as far as I'm concerned. I don't have time to waste on it. Amen.
But
let me tell you something, folks. You get your King James Bible, you got the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
You don't got to worry about nothing else. Anyway, I could talk on that for a while, but I better not. Now, the person, again, the pioneer here, he's striving to serve the Lord with all he can, no matter the cost. Amen. Listen to that, church. That pioneer, he's willing to serve the Lord no matter the cost. They daily remember to take up their cross and to follow who? Jesus. Amen. Is it tough to do? Is it easy to take up your cross and follow him? Folks, it isn't easy. Amen. Let me tell you, we live in a generation where you start walking with Christ and start sharing Christ and start, people will be rude to you. Amen. They'll be nasty to you. They won't you. Some people that are a religious crowd, well, they're even more dangerous. Amen. I tell you, one time when I went to the town and we live and we knocked on every door in the town. And I remember when we get to the Catholic's house, all we want to do is talk to you. They say, oh, no, I'm a Catholic. I can't hear nothing you have to say because the priest don't allow it. I said, friends, if that's who it is, if that's what it's about, oh, Lord, help you. Amen. You're trapped. You're duped. Amen. Aren't you glad you have the Word of God to look at? Amen. You can examine everything like the Bereans did. Amen. Examine what's said by the Word of God. Well, the pioneers are one, but the settlers are something else. The settler, what he wants to be is comfortable, amen? The settler doesn't want anybody to ruffle any feathers. Don't talk hard to me, amen? Don't give me any hard preaching. You just be quiet and monotone so I can get my nap. Amen? Let me tell you something. Folks, there's preaching today that just is made to be comfortable. There are folks today that it's more important that you get out on time, then we hear the Word of God. Right. Amen. We might go a little over just to mess with you a little bit. I don't have to, but I might do it anyway. But they know the right language. That's what I'm going to tell you something. Those settlers, they had the right language, right? They knew how to talk. They knew what it was to say. They knew how to sing the songs, and they knew all the stuff, right? They just didn't have him right here. Amen. They didn't know God and didn't have that relationship with him, amen? If you got it, you know it, right? You ask me, Pastor, do you know if you're going to heaven? I said, I know that I'm going, amen? Because I have relationship through Jesus Christ, amen? I've been born again. I've been washed in the blood, amen? We sing about it all the time. I don't know why we don't shout when we sing it. Because are you washed in the blood? Y'all should say, yes! Amen? Not maybe so, I think so, I'm going to heaven. Amen. We're not at a maybe so church, last time I checked, brother. We're a no so church. Amen. If you're washed in the blood, it's a sure thing. You're guaranteed heaven. Amen. It's not a maybe so, it's a 100% certain of. Now, notice they'll sing the songs, folks. Those settlers, they'll come into the church. They'll settle down real cozy. But don't ask me to visit. Don't ask me to share Jesus. Don't ask me to do something. Don't ask me to stay up at Restorethon. Don't ask me. No, no. I'm all fixed up. I'm doing what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what mama did. I hear a lot of people say, I do exactly what my mama did or my daddy did. And my faith isn't any more than my, you don't have that personal relationship. Amen. You know what? I remember the greatest thing ever happened to me, my granddad, when I was a young man. I was 6 years old. And you can get saved at 6 because I was as rotten as a kid could get. Biting and fighting and you name it, I did it. And I remember my granddad said to me, he said, son, I told him, granddad, one day I'm going to go to heaven with you. And he said, well, how do you figure? I said, well, I'm going to go to heaven with you because you're a preacher. And so preacher's kids automatically go to heaven, right? And he looked at me and he said, nope, they go straight to hell. And you mean there were tears welling up in my face? I was crying. I said, oh, man, I'm going to go to hell. And my grandma looked over to him and said, but you don't have to, son. You need to turn to Jesus. Amen. Transform my life. Let me tell you something. Praise the Lord for two grandparents that raised me in the right way. Amen. And pointed me to the direction to the Lord. Amen. I didn't come from a good home. I'll tell you that right now. My parents were divorced back when I was a little kid. I came from a broken home, and mom and dad still hate each other. Isn't that nice? They don't even stay in the same state. They can't stand each other. How many of y'all know families like that? It ain't nice, amen? Not people that serve in the Lord. But you know what? I keep praying for them. I know God's going to work on them, amen? But you know what's funny is that when I came up in that situation, my grandparents raised me. They said, you know what? My grandkids, I'm not going to let them be thrown to the wolves.
I'm going to take all three. This is my golden years. My grandparents are retired. They're in their 80s, 70s, and 80s. And they say, you know what? Bring them into our house, and I'm going to raise them. My grandma never told me her whole age. She was 39 and holding forever. Anybody else like that say amen, sister? No, I'm just kidding. She was 39 and holding. Why? Because she didn't want these boys to think that she was too old to take care of them. Amen? And there was always food on the table and clothes on my back. And tell you, two people that love the Lord and draw me to the Lord like nobody else could. And I'm thankful for two godly grandparents that are in heaven today that were cared enough for a little boy to raise him in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Folks, let me tell you something. What you do for the Lord counts. And it's not forgotten. You might think that, but I assure you it's not true. What you do for the Lord matters and makes a difference. You might not think it does, but I assure you it does. I never forgot one thing my grandparents did for me. When I was a kid, I didn't appreciate one single thing. But I remember one day I came to my grandma. She was older at the time. She was in a wheelchair, and I looked at her. I said, Grandma, thank you for every whipping you gave me. And I'm glad I missed some of them, but I thank you for every one. Why? Because I needed them, amen? They helped to build character into my life, amen? Let me tell you something. I'm going to let the pastor preach on that, though. Anyway, notice they settle. They have another God, amen? Folks, y'all know there are people in church today that have another God that's not the Lord of the Bible? He's not the one that created them, not the one that sustained them, not the sent his precious son to die on the cross for their sin. It's a God that's like that, but it's a God like them that suits their fancy. That does what they want them to do. I remember, and I don't mean to pick on if you like Bill Clinton or not, but I remember one time that he said, they asked him about morality, and of course he was about the most immoral person I can think of, except for, well, anyway. I don't want to get on any modern stuff, but honestly, he said this. He said, my God says it's okay. Did y'all hear that? My God? You know what? My God, you know what? He is God. I'm his. You know what? Amen? He's the one in charge. I'm not the one in charge. He's the Lord. He's the Almighty King of kings and Lord of lords. I'm not. I don't get to dictate to him. He dictates to me. He's the master. I'm the servant. Is that true for you, folks? I hope it is. I hope it is. But, folks, I tell you, it's a scary thing today. People use the word of God as a cloak. They use religion as a cloak. I don't meet any politician that hadn't got religion somehow. They just hadn't got their tongue and mouth saved yet. Amen? I don't know, Pastor, do you know any? The church needs to get, we need to get real. Not everything in a bread pan is a biscuit, amen?
Right.
Not everything in a church building is born again.
Amen.
Folks, I pray that everybody here is born again. I know Pastor thinks the same thing, amen? We would love for it to be true, but we couldn't possibly imagine that every big crowd like this, that there's not somebody here that doesn't know the Lord for sure. There's an opportunity today. You say, you know what? I'll tell you this. You know what God loves? He loves it when people that have their name on the roll get really born again. Did you know that? He really loves that. He likes it when preacher boys that really wanted to be religious finally get born again. Amen? Did you know that? He likes that. God loves it when people really get sold out to him. He loves that kind of business. He loves it when you turn away from being a settler, amen, being that person that criticizes and is critiquing everything, to somebody who gets out and does something for the Lord, amen. Let me tell you something. If we can have this church full of pioneers, you realize that Haines City won't ever be the same? You realize this community won't ever be the same if we get out and start telling others about Jesus? And they say, you know what? Every time I go to Walmart, everybody's always talking about Jesus, and they're from that Landmark Baptist. I want them to, Pastor, is it okay if they complain about them? Amen. I tell you, it'd be the greatest thing ever happened that everybody's just complaining about Landmark Baptist for being a bunch of people that really want to share Jesus, want to love Christ, want to give a testimony for the Lord wherever they go. Wouldn't that be great, a testimony for us? Now, we're doing some things, don't get me wrong, but we could do more. Amen. We can do more. Folks, I don't know about you, but there's a syndrome in our culture. There's a syndrome in many churches today that there's no passion for their faith anymore. There's no unction of the Holy Spirit for them to get up off their lazy boy recliner, amen, and do something for the Lord. I like a lazy boy recliner. There ain't nothing wrong with one. It's wonderful for nap time after church service. You know, it is a day of rest, hallelujah. Some of y'all got a nap, praise the Lord. I had a nap till the pastor called me and said I had to preach, and that nap was over. But you know what? Honestly, I mean, it is a day of rest, and you ought to do that, amen. God's given us a day to be in the we fellowship with each other and also to fellowship, amen, that little rest, and rejuvenate ourselves, amen, for the week, amen. The enemy's going to come against us all week. Did you know that?
Yes.
Amen. I heard a preacher once say, he said, if you're going the same way as the devil, you're not bound to bump into him, amen.
Right.
But if you're going a different direction than him, amen, then he's going to be all over you when he gets a chance.
Right.
Amen. Let me give you one final thing and go ahead and turn it over to the pastor here. Let me give you just two things real quick. Things to consider this week, and I hope you will. Judge yourself. I can't be your judge, and I don't want to be your judge. But judge yourself. Are you a pioneer or are you a settler? Are you a person that's ready to do some things that you're uncomfortable with for the Lord? You're ready to stretch out past the comfort zone that you've become accustomed and say, God, I know you want me to do this. I know I've been fighting you. I know I've been battling you. How many of y'all ever battled the Lord about doing something?
Yeah.
I know I have. A lot of times you say, well, preacher, I don't know why he's up there. He's battling the Lord. Amen. Trust me, folks, every day is a battle.
Yeah. Yes.
The Apostle Paul said, I do the things that I don't want to do, and the things that I do, I don't do. Amen. Is that right? Folks, I'm telling you. There's a battle. Working with God is a battle. You've got to decide today, am I that pioneer or am I that settler? Two, if you're a Holy Spirit-led pioneer, keep on striving for the Lord. Just keep up the good work, folks. Keep on. Let me tell you something. There's a lot more work to be done, isn't there? Jesus said the fields are white unto harvest, right? That means that the fields were ready. What were they? They were ready to harvest. And guess what? The fields weren't ready to harvest. You know what he was seeing? He was seeing all the people coming.
Right.
Amen?
Yes.
All those people coming from the woodwork to hear from him. Folks, there are people out there today that need to hear that good old gospel message. Amen?
Right.
And you know what? Let me tell you something. We don't have to jazz it up. We don't have to change it. All we got to give them is the same old truth that they're hunting for. Amen? They're not hunting for something new. They're just hunting for looking for solid answers, folks. This generation coming up, they want to know what's going on. They want to know where to look for truth, amen? And we need to be pointing them in the right direction. That's what the pioneer is going to do. Thirdly, folks, if you find yourself to be a settler today, amen, I'm not here to put you down or be negative to you, but if you find yourself here a settler this evening, I want you to know you can easily change your allegiance. You can easily switch it real quick just by turning them to the Lord, amen? And say, Lord, I no longer want to be a settler. I no longer want to play church anymore. I'm all in. Amen? Being a believer isn't like playing the hokey pokey. Amen? Hokey pokey, you get your right arm in, you get your right arm out. You get your right arm in, shake it all about. Amen? But see, in Jesus, either you're all in or you're all out.
Right.
Amen? Folks, I don't know about you, but I want to be all in tonight.
Right.
Amen? Folks, let's be all in for the Lord.
Well, let's stand with our heads bowed and think about what we just heard. Could we look in the mirror of the Word of God tonight and say, am I a pioneer or a settler? As soon as the preacher read that text over there about one generation not seeing the works and forgetting what had gone ahead of them, that's a scary text. Pioneers settled it. Somebody said, well, now I can just settle down and take my ease. And that's the way you lose it. It's the way a church loses it. It's the way a ministry loses it. Sadly today, that's across the land. We talk about it being the Laodicean church age, the lukewarm age that makes God sick on his stomach, but it don't have to be that way with us. It don't have to be that way with our church. It don't have to be that way in your life. Tonight, I hope that we all listen close to the message. And it is something that's going on, but don't have to be us. Last night, we had the Restore-a-thon. We saw God answering prayer, saw a great victory. That's part of the works we should never forget. never forget. But it's something else about it. We should never be satisfied that that's it. It's over. No, it's not over. It's not over till the trumpet sounds and Jesus says it's enough. Amen. I'd like the invitation tonight to be this. Just ask the Lord in your heart to speak to you, to fortify you against becoming a settler and just settling down for life, the easiest, least path of resistance you can find. Don't let that happen to you. I had a boss man tell me years ago, boy, it was a lot of years. It was the weekend I had graduated school and found out about the workaday world real quick. And he said to me, he said, Mickey, if you tie your right arm down and never use it, it'll become useless. He said, stay busy, work. And that's good advice in a spiritual sense also. Keep doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, may you bless the invitation. May all of us look at our hearts and make that decision. We want to not forget your works, not what the other generation did, but what are we going to do? And Father, if we slip, if we settle down, next thing we know, we'll be serving the wrong God. I pray you'd bless the invitation tonight. If there's one here without the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for their soul right now. That they'd step out and come forward and let us take a Bible and show them how they can be saved and know they're saved. That means when they pillow their head tonight, they'd know if they died in their sleep that heaven would be their home. We thank you for that know-so truth from the Word of God. Bless the invitation, I pray now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Bert, would you lead us in something, please?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly thine. May thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now.
Let's bow our heads a moment. Could be God's spoken to you about something else, maybe about moving a membership. Been saved and baptized. You ought to be a member of the Lord's church. Amen. It's the greatest cause on earth. It's the cause that supersedes all others. I said it this morning. Bible tells us Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it. The illustration is that we husbands ought to love our wives enough to die for them, like he did his bride, the church. I hate to say it, but as the preacher was preaching on the culture and the settling down, even of God's people today, they've settled down to the place, and the church don't hold the high place with them it used to hold. Used to be something special. I've read where the old politicians in early days of America, they knew better than to even try to run for office if they were not a Christian and a member of a good church. Boy, things have changed, haven't they? I don't believe it's changed in God's eyes, just in the acceptance of sin in our culture today. I appreciate the message tonight. Good for us. Amen. Make us think. Amen.